Well, here we are, week two of growing in Christ. Is there anything more honest or transparent than the prayer of a child? Children's prayers are just so, and I mean this in a proper way, so simple, so trusting, so just blunt and honest. Let me give you a sampling of some prayers children have prayed. Here we go. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother. But what I prayed for was a puppy. Yeah? How about this one? God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. I like this one. Lord, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? And this one. Dear God, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am. And finally, God, please take care of my mommy and daddy, my sister and brother, my doggy and me. Oh, please, God, take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. Yeah. Do you believe in prayer? Why do you believe in prayer? Does prayer work? How do you know it works? Maybe it's just coincidence. Do you believe in prayer? Let's talk about it this morning. We're in our second of a series of messages entitled Growing in Christ, Practices of the Follower of Christ. Last Sunday, we focused our attention on the Bible and the importance of reading it and studying it and then aligning our lives with it. And I've put out a challenge to read the scripture and send me a response. I had three people that listened last week. Well, three people that I heard from, and I'm really grateful for that. The great insight and great questions and thoughts that they picked out as they read the scripture. This morning, we're going to be looking at prayer. And prayer, I believe, is a practice that is beneficial to our growth in Christ. Now, as we explore this topic of prayer this morning, I want to remind us of the incredible privilege that has been given to us by God that we can approach Him, that we can come to Him as part of our relationship with Him. Some of you with good memories may be sitting there this morning going, didn't you just recently preach a message on prayer? Yes, back in August in a series about the church, we talked about the praying church. And so some of what we share this morning may sound familiar, and that's why. I want to invite your attention to two passages of scripture this morning. First, Luke chapter 11. We want to read the first four verses, and then we're going to move to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. They sound very familiar. These both relate when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. Luke 11 is specifically teaching his disciples. Matthew 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. You will recognize the scripture. Luke 11, beginning with verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. "This then is how you should pray. 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Prayer. Prayer is a topic that is found all throughout the scripture. Beginning with Genesis, we discover prayer all the way through to Revelation. In fact, prayer is found in 46 of the 66 books of the Bible. 46 of 66 books, we find prayer mentioned or prayers. We all have probably an idea of what prayer is, but let's define it for our purposes this morning. It's interesting that both the Hebrew word that is translated pray or prayer and the Greek word translated pray or prayer have the same meanings. Here's what they mean: to make requests of or to speak to God. That's what prayer is. To make requests of or to speak to God. We commonly simplify prayer's definition like this: that prayer is communication with God. And I think at its simplest form, that is true. I've heard it said that prayer is not a monologue, but it's a dialogue. But I'm afraid too often that my prayers and maybe your prayers tend to be one-sided monologues, with me doing most of the talking rather than doing some listening to. You see, prayer involves, if it's communication, it involves both listening and speaking, right? That's communication, listening and speaking. God listens. The scripture tells us time and time again that he hears our prayers. How often do we listen? But I think prayer is more than simply an avenue of communication. I've put it in these terms. Prayer is multifaceted. Prayer is not one-dimensional. It's multifaceted. I like what E.M. Bounds writes about prayer. He says, prayer honors God, acknowledges his being, exalts his power, adores his providence, and secures his aid. I think that's a really great definition of what prayer is. It's honoring God. It's lifting him up. It's being in awe of him. It's acknowledging that he exists. It's recognizing who he is. It's exalting his power. It's recognizing and really lifting up the fact that God can do anything. It adores his providence. It's recognizing in our lives how God has worked and how he is working, and it secures his aid. We can come to him with our needs. And I believe that as we look through scripture and study prayer, we can find all of these aspects in prayer. Prayer is multifaceted. So here's another thought about prayer. Prayer is humbling. Prayer is humbling. Why do I say that? Because when we pray, we are acknowledging that we have a need and that we need help. It's a recognition that I can't handle this myself. Isn't that why we pray? Think about it. When is it that we find people asking us for prayer, or when do we find ourselves going to God in prayer or wanting people to pray for us? When something comes into our life that is bigger than we are, we recognize that we need help from someone who is more powerful than we are, and we cry out for help. I can't do this on my own. January 2nd, Monday night, there was an incident in Cincinnati, Ohio during an NFL football game. Damar Hamlin made a routine tackle, probably one that he had made many, many times before, but this time something happened. He collapsed on the field with cardiac arrest. For 9 minutes, they worked to revive him. And if you followed the story, he went to the Philadelphia Eagles training facility just this week. But what was the immediate response of players and fans alike? They prayed. They prayed. Everyone, it seems, who was there, whether they were believers in Christ or not, recognized there was a bigger problem than they could handle. And so in that moment, people who may never have uttered a prayer in weeks, months, or years found themselves praying, calling out to God. Why? Because they had a problem, they saw a problem that was too big for them to handle. Don't we do that? We do the same thing. We find ourselves in a circumstance that is frightening or that is overwhelming to us, and we begin calling out, looking for someone to come to our rescue. See, prayer is humbling because prayer is a recognition that I need help. Here's what took place on the field. Players praying, recognizing they need help. One more thought about prayer before we look at Matthew and Luke's recording. Prayer is an expectation for the follower of Christ. It's an expectation. As we read through the Sermon on the Mount, three different times, Jesus says these words, when you pray. When you pray. When you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. It's when. And we can glean from that that Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, I expect that you will call out to me, that you will communicate, that you will call out to God. And I would suggest this, that us praying is vital, is beneficial in our walk with Christ to become more like him. Because you see, prayer is our line of communication with the God of this universe. And he invites us to come into his presence, to call out to him, to seek him. And I like what Jesus says in Luke 18:1. He said, we should always pray and not give up. Again, we see the expectation. We should pray if we're followers of Jesus Christ. What can we learn from Jesus' pattern of prayer? Well, the first thing that I notice is this: reverence. Reverence or worship. He begins by saying, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, what is the word? Hallowed be your name. What is the word hallowed? What does it mean? It means to honor as holy, to be in awe of. So we learn from these words that when we approach God, we need to recognize who he is. We don't just casually approach the throne of God. We recognize who it is we are approaching and who we are addressing. We don't have time this morning to go into a long list, but just think about this with me. When we pray, we are talking with our Creator. We are talking with the one who is the giver of life. We are talking to the one who sustains our life. When we pray, we're not just approaching another human being who maybe has been elevated to a position higher than we are. We are coming before the one and only true and living God. That's who we're talking to. And may I remind you that the one we are talking to, praying to, is all-knowing and he is all-powerful. There is nothing that he can't do. And I like this. He's our friend. Now, I want to caution us. He's not our pal. He's not our good buddy. He's not the man upstairs. Take that out of your vocabulary. Number one, he's not a man. He is God. And he's not just our buddy like, hey, dude, let's go. You know, No. We are approaching God Almighty. And we approach him with humility. But additionally, we can approach him with confidence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Some translations say boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we come to him with honor, with awe, but we can come to him with confidence, not arrogance, okay? We're not talking arrogance. We're talking confidence. Well, what can we be confident about? Well, number one, we can come to him with confidence that he wants us there. He invites us. He says here, let us approach the throne. We can come to him with confidence knowing because he's all powerful that he can do anything that we ask. We come to him with confidence, never braggadocio, never this arrogance, but with humility and confidence at the same time. We can bring anything to him. Come with boldness. The second thing I notice as Jesus is teaching about prayer is this concept of responding or surrender, response or surrender. Matthew says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke records Jesus saying, your kingdom come. When we come to God in prayer, remember, prayer is not telling God what to do. There is some poor theology that is being taught out there, basically that we just command God what to do, and he has to. Folks, doesn't work that way. We approach God with humility and confidence, not telling him what to do. Remember, why did we pray? Because we come across a situation that we can't handle. So we're coming to him with a need. And I understand that when we come to him, we have an idea of what we'd like him to do, right? I mean, Lord, this is my situation, and would you answer it like this? Would you do this? But when we pray, this whole idea that Jesus is sharing here is that we recognize who he is, and we respond to him, we surrender to him, saying, Lord, this is what I would like, but I know that you know what's best. You're all-knowing. And so I surrender my will. I come underneath your authority and say, you know what is best, and I'm okay with that. Here's what I would like, but I'm okay with what you choose. When we surrender in our prayer, we come to him recognizing that he may not answer our prayer the way we want him to, and we come recognizing that he might answer our prayer with what word? No. Isn't that fun when God says no? We'll talk about that in a few moments. This whole idea of your kingdom come, your will be done in prayer means this: that prayer is aligning our will with God's will. Prayer is aligning our will with God's will. So we come to him with reverence, worshiping him. We respond to him with an attitude of surrender. Third, request. We like this part. And probably we're best at this part, aren't we? Because that's what most of our prayers are about, requests. Luke says, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Matthew says, give us today our daily bread. forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. As we look at this part, I want to just point out something. Did you notice that we don't begin our prayers with requests? We begin with worship. We begin by surrender. And then I like how Daniel Henderson, who has done a lot on prayer, makes this statement that we should seek God's face before we seek his hand. He doesn't say don't seek his hand, but we should seek his face. We should look at him. And I like the illustration. I think I've shared it before. If you have a pet, a dog, and you send the dog outside and the dog comes back in after doing his business and you've got a treat, right? He gets a prize for going out and doing his job. When the dog comes in, does the dog looking at your hand or is he looking at your face? My dog looks at my face. Looks at the hand, doesn't it? How many times do we look for God's hand before we look for his face? It's proper to seek his hand. It's proper to bring our needs to him. But let's seek his face first, all right? Now, you say, every time I have a need, do I have to seek his face first and respond to nothing? Hey, there's sometimes, if you're about to have a crash, don't take 5 minutes to say, God, I just want to worship you. Pray, God, save us, protect me, okay? It's okay. I'm talking about general, as we spend time with God, all right? We're talking about our pattern of praying. Now, it's interesting that Jesus in his teaching basically covers in two distinct ways every need that we have. First, he talks about our resources. Give us today our what? Daily bread. What do you need daily? Simply food and clothing, right? That's minimum. But this daily bread is signifying whatever your daily needs are. And I think those needs may vary day to day. Here's what I've put in my notes. Some days, our daily bread is emotional strength, right? We're facing something that is just bigger than we are, and we're anxious or we're troubled by, and that's what we need. That's our daily bread. Lord, I need help today in this. Other times, maybe we just need energy to complete a task. It seems bigger than we are, but we know we have to get it done. Lord, my need, my daily bread is, would you just give me that burst of energy that I need to finish this? Maybe your daily bread is a financial need. We've all been there, haven't we? Perhaps at times it's a physical need. Last night, Diane and I went to a basketball game, and I'm sitting on the bleachers there, and all of a sudden, my low back just began to spasm. I mean, it was just like, oh. I mean, bleachers are comfortable, but then, you know, we're driving home from Hastings, and just sitting in there, it was just starting to just grab, and I recline my seat, and we get home, and no matter how I stood, it just hurt. Sat in the hot tub for a little bit, and we went, hopped into bed, and Diane says, can I just pray for you real quick? Now, she didn't go through this whole list of honor, you know, worshiping God and you know, responding. She just asked, Lord, if you'd be pleased, would you touch Rocky's back? I'm standing this morning. It's a little tender. But what was my daily bread? What was my need? I needed a touch in my back physically. Sometimes our daily bread is wisdom or discernment as we're making decisions for our own life or for our family or for our daily bread. I don't know what happened up there. We went to music. We're going to sing a Christian's daily prayer. Where's Lori and all of them? So maybe you can put everything back up on the screen. But basically all of our daily bread needs, our resources fall under daily bread, right? Let's see. Let's move along. There we go. There we are. Now, let me ask you this question. When you are facing a daily bread need, what often happens? We become anxious, don't we? We don't worry because that's not spiritual, but we are concerned. No, we become anxious, don't we? But the scripture addresses that. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about some things. Is that what it says? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice what Paul says first. Do not be what? Ugh. Paul, I'm not anxious. I just have deep concern about my situation. No. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, bring your requests to God in prayer with thanksgiving. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've read the scripture in my life, and for the first time as I studied it this week, I made a connection between verses 6 and 7. You all probably already know it. When I bring my requests to God instead of being anxious about them, what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends what? All understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I never made the connection that when I bring my anxiousness, my needs and all that to God, that he gives me a peace. But that's what he does. And it's beyond our understanding. We bring this need because we're troubled by it, and we say, God, this is what's going on. I don't know what to do with this. It's bigger than I am. And then there comes a peace, and we're going, where did that come from? I don't understand it. I ought to be stressed by now. I ought to be all worried and troubled, but I've given it to God, and I'm going to let him handle it. And in the midst of those difficulties, I can't explain. Well, Paul says, it transcends our understanding. He gives us peace. Why? Because he is more than capable of handling whatever you bring to him, right? Don't be anxious. Bring your needs to him, and he gives you peace. When we bring our requests to God, he gives us a peace that we can understand. That's the first large category of requests. The second large category is relationships. Relationships. We can bring our relationship issues to God. Note this. Where there are relationships, there are misunderstandings, conflicts, and divisions. Have you noticed that? Where there are relationships, there are misunderstandings, conflicts, and divisions. I put in my notes, we've all been there, done that, and maybe even have t-shirts. We've been there. Understand this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are not exempt from relationship difficulties. Wouldn't it be nice? If you give your life to Jesus, you will never have a relationship problem. Please listen to me for a moment this morning. Marriages in our congregation are under attack. Our enemy, the devil, is attempting to do what he is best at, and that is bring division and destruction in the home. And as your pastor, I am aware of some struggles, but I'm confident that there are more marriages who are struggling that I'm aware of, because some of you are really good at hiding it. I'm not accusing, I'm just stating facts. You can bring your marriage struggles to God in prayer. If you're married, it's extremely important that you pray with and for your spouse. Thank God daily for them. Ask God to help you keep your vows and be faithful to your spouse and to Him. Pray that He will give you wisdom and unity as you make decisions together which need to be made. If there's conflict, if you, sir or ma'am, have said something, done something which has just brought a sense of tension, conflict, ask God to forgive you and then help, ask Him to help you go to your spouse and seek their forgiveness. Pray for them. Pray with them. It may not be daily that you do this, but set aside time throughout the week to pray with one another. Read a passage of Scripture. Pray through that passage of Scripture. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your children. Ask God to help the two of you to be tools in His hands in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood. Marriage is a relationship that can be brought to God in prayer. But there are other relationship matters besides marriage, right? Maybe it's a business situation, partnership. Maybe it's a disagreement of some type between you and a friend or an acquaintance or somebody on the job. Bring it to God. He says bring everything to Him by prayer and petition. We're talking relationships. So we have resources and we have relationships. And it covers every need we have. I said a few moments ago that we were going to talk about God's answers to prayer. And I wouldn't be faithful to you if I didn't remind you that God doesn't always answer the prayer the way we ask Him to. And sometimes He says no. And here's what I've discovered. When God says no, it's easy to become discouraged or frustrated and say this: well, God didn't answer my prayer. Oh, yes, He did. He answered it. He answered it with what? No. Did you know no was an answer? But see, if God doesn't do it the way we want it done, we tend to think He didn't answer my prayer. I don't know that I've ever had anybody say to me, I just want to thank God that He answered my prayer. He said no. Most say He didn't answer. I think one of the most difficult things to do when it comes to our requests is to surrender our way to God's way. But when we come to Him, it needs to be with an attitude like this: God, here's what I would like to see done. Here's what I think needs to happen. I'm asking You to do this, but God, I know that You are sovereign. I know that You are all-knowing, and so I trust You. And I will surrender my will to Your will. You do it the way that You know is best. That's not always easy. That's how we bring our requests. The fourth part of Jesus' pattern that I see is what we're calling readiness or confidence. Matthew 6:13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Luke simply says, "And lead us not into temptation." Yeah, a good way to close our prayers is with an acknowledgement that we are in a battle and that we have an enemy. But we can come to Him with confidence, knowing who God is. Here's your blanks. We can be confident of God's help based on who God is. We can have confidence as we go into the battle that He is there, that He is walking with us, that He is going ahead of us. A good way to put this into practice is to remember reverence at the very beginning, those attributes, those characteristics of who God is. So, for example, maybe we worship God, we were reverent and saying, God, you're all powerful. Now, how does readiness work? Well, I go into the day and I say, God, because of who you are, the all-powerful God, I'm trusting you to give me strength today as I lead this difficult meeting at the office. Just a simple statement of confidence because of who God is. Maybe we think about God's all-knowing, His wisdom. God, because you know everything, you're aware of what I'm facing right now. And so I'm going to face it with confidence, knowing that you are aware and knowing that you can do whatever needs to be done to handle it. Readiness. Now, there are so many ways we could talk about prayer this morning, but time doesn't allow it. And I'm so grateful that God didn't leave it up to us to figure out how to pray. It's not a trial and error. He gave us a pattern of prayer. He sent His Son, Jesus, to give it to us. And then we also have other prayers throughout Scripture of godly men and women who have prayed. I think it's important for us, this is why I'm bringing it to our attention, to never forget that prayer is one of the practices of a follower of Jesus Christ, which helps us grow in Christ. So what are the four R's? First, we begin our prayer with reverence, worshiping, thanking God for who He is and what He's done. Then we respond to Him. That's our surrender to His will and His way. Then we bring our requests to Him. Everything, nothing is off limits. And finally, readiness. We recognize that we're in a battle, but God's on our side, and we can pray with confidence as we go. Here's the point to remember. Prayer is a vital practice for the follower of Christ, helping us grow in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, You're our God. We're Your children. And we want to worship You because You are good. And God, because You are good, we know that You bring good things into our lives. And because You are good, God, we want to also be like You, and we want to be good in the daily activities of life. We want to be like You. And God, so knowing that You're good and we want to respond to Your goodness, we request this, that You would help us daily, whether it's in our home, whether it's dealing with our children, our spouse, whether it's at work or at school, whatever situation we find ourselves in, would You help us be good like You? And then we pray in confidence, knowing that as we face whatever it is, that You will help us because You are good and You are a helper, You are a provider. You will help us to be good. God, help us to be the men and women that we ought to be. Help us to grow in Christ. And may we not neglect prayer. Thank You for the privilege. God, as we leave this place today, we will walk in confidence, believing that You go with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.